We've got Dr. Fiona Giblin here with us today for Pet Chat, and we're missing Cheryl, unfortunately.
She's still poorly. Yes, she's feeling today like I was feeling last week.
Yeah, it's just going around, isn't it?
Just going around.
So, yeah, sending our best to Cheryl. Get well soon, and hopefully we will catch up with you next week. Now, what are we going to talk about today, Fiona?
Well, super keen for our callers, as always, to call in. Happy to help with any question, big or small. And then I thought I'd touch on ear infections. We just see so many of them so often at work. And I just thought I'd explain a bit more why your dog might get them, or your cat for that matter, and what we can do to help prevent them.
Heather from Barnsley has done. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
You seem surprised that you're that we answered.
Oh no, I get nervous when I get on a phone.
Don't be nervous. Now you've got a dog with a weepy eye.
Yeah, she's had it since. Well, she's 15 months old now, but she's had it since she was about 5 months old.
Is it one eye or both eyes, Heather?
Both of them. They're just wet all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what breed is she?
She's a Cavoodle. She's 3/4 poodle and 1/4 Cavalier.
Okay. And could you describe the discharge, like what colour it is, how much there is?
Oh, yeah, it's every day. It goes. I can wipe it away and it just drips again.
Okay.
It's like she's crying.
Yeah, all right. Have you had a vet look at it or asked anyone, Heather?
No, not yet. I was going to take her. I thought it might have been blocked.
Yeah, look, I reckon you got it in one, Heather. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the situation.
Right.
Dogs with slightly shorter faces, like your Cavoodles, sometimes can get blocked tear ducts. Okay, it's not necessarily an infection. It's not necessarily problematic. It's certainly not painful for them. But what happens is instead of the tears going down the tear duct, they overflow over the eyelid, and you get these weepy eyes.
Right.
If it's a real problem, what we can do under anaesthetic is try and flush the tear ducts out. Sometimes they're just a little bit blocked. So flushing them out with a little bit of saline under anaesthetic can certainly help the situation. Sometimes eye drops can help as well. But then some breeds, and it sounds like yours might be one of them, it's just normal for her almost.
Yeah.
Are the eyes red at all?
No.
No, just weepy.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And it says on my screen here, Heather, that she gets car sick as well.
Oh, God, yeah, we can't go anywhere. I've got to take a dozen towels and put them around her and wipe it down when I get there. And then you can bet within a half an hour she's sick. I don't feed her before we go. I've tried everything.
Yeah, okay. Any medications yet, Heather?
No, okay.
It might be worth, there are a few anti-nausea type medications that we can try for car sickness.
Right.
So depending on whether she's getting, she's vomiting because she's nauseous or she's vomiting because she's anxious about being in the car, they're your main two causes.
Right.
The medication that we use is different, but it might be definitely something. Have a chat to your vet about both the eyes and the medication options for car sickness, because we want it to be a positive experience for her rather than, oh no, here comes the car again type scenario.
I think she likes the bus. She just can't wait to get in there.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a real positive. Have a chat to your vet about what medications are available.
I haven't really got a vet that I'm going to take them to now.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe have a chat to local friends and family, see if you've got someone who can recommend someone for you. That's the best way to get a recommendation, I'd say.
Hey, good luck with that, Heather. Next on the line, we've got Peter from Fennel Bay. Hi, Peter.
Hey, how are you going?
Good, thank you. You've got a German Shepherd that keeps shaking its head and scratching its ear.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, we're pretty sure it's not fleas. I was just wondering, is it possible earwax build-up? Like we wipe her ears, we've been wiping her ears, and a bit of gunk comes out, but she's still doing it.
Okay. Is this a new thing, Peter, or she always shakes her head?
Well, it's been, we noticed that she sort of, the way she shakes her head, she leans to one side and then shakes it.
Okay.
And she's always scratching the same ear.
Okay. All right. Look, if, believe it or not, Peter, the piece of paper I've got in front of me, it's all about ear infections and what they look like and how to fix them and what you need to do. And I reckon she's ticking those boxes, Peter.
Okay.
I would suggest it's rather than fleas or rather than earwax that we've actually potentially got an infection in the ear. A German Shepherd's ear canals are pretty big, so you wouldn't necessarily be able to see anything, okay, because it might be deep in the ear canal. But if in doubt, I would, if it's a change for her, I would absolutely get it checked out by your local vet and they can have a look what sort of infection it is and get some medication if that's what's needed.
Awesome. All right, then. Thank you very much.
No worries. Best of luck. Thanks for the call, Peter.
Okay. Bye.
Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. You've got a 5-year-old dissexed male dachshund who keeps licking his nether regions.
October, and he has fruit and everything, not a lot of fruit, and I give him a teaspoon of yogurt a day, but as soon as he wakes up, he's licking at his willy.
Well, he's a boy.
And, yes, of course. And doesn't look, well, he won't let you near it,
okay,
of course, and he doesn't look ill. He's not sick, but he just won't leave it alone.
He just won't leave it alone. Is this a new thing, Louise, or he's always done it?
Yeah, it's been going on about 5-6 weeks.
Okay, all right. And is he de-sexed, Louise?
Yes.
Okay. And can you tell, is it the tip of his penis that he's licking or is it somewhere else that he's licking?
It's at the tip of the penis, but it doesn't come out, of course.
Yeah, okay.
But as soon as I go to touch, you know, back part,
yep,
you know, he just jumps.
He won't have it.
Yeah.
Okay. And have you noticed, is there any change in his toileting habits?
No.
Okay.
He's up at 3 every morning and he has his breakfast at 3, has a drink of water, then he goes back to bed and we get up about 7, 8 o'clock.
Okay. And when he's doing a wee, there's no straining or there's no sort of difficulty at all? Okay.
He must go about 10, 15 times a day, you know.
Okay. All right. Look, the fact that you said, Louise, it's a relatively new change for him, I would be encouraging that I think this is something we need to check out. Okay.
Right.
What we need to work out, Louise, is it a new habit or is there actually a medical reason why he's doing it?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a bit sore? Is it a bit inflamed? Do we actually have a bit of a low-grade infection, okay, that's a little bit irritating for him?
Yeah.
So I would definitely encourage you to give your local vet a phone call. They will more than likely, Louise, want you to bring in a urine sample, okay?
That's hard.
So what I'm just about to give you some tips and tricks to do that, okay? Definitely collecting a first wee sample of the day is a good idea because they're a little bit busting and they're a little bit more tolerant of you hanging around maybe more than you normally do.
Okay.
What I would suggest you use is a big, large, flat, sort of like a Chinese takeaway container, something like that.
Yep.
But as clean as a whistle. You know, really, really, really clean because any sugars in there, for example, can contaminate your sample.
Okay. I get what you mean.
So a super clean container, get your lightning fast fingers ready. And when he cocks that leg or when he goes for a squat, just as quick as you can, slip the container into the stream of urine. And we really only need like a teaspoon.
Okay.
So we only do need a small amount, but I would definitely, if you can, be prepared to collect a sample and make an appointment at your local vet and they can screen him for infection and or anything abnormal that's going on down there and just give you peace of mind that there's no issues.
Is it quite common in dachshunds or?
What you're describing, I'd say, isn't super common, Louise. And I think it does warrant getting checked out and having the all clear.
Okay, thank you very much for your help.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Thanks,
now.
Louise.
Okay, next we've got Carmel from Lochinvar. Hi, Carmel.
Hi, Dr. Fiona. How are you going?
Well, thanks, Carmel. How are you?
Yeah, getting there.
How can I help today?
So I've got a 15-year-old dog, Rufus, who's Maltese cross Jack Russell.
Okay.
Now, within the last week, he's had diarrhoea. Like, it's just been like after he's had some food,
mm-hmm.
It just doesn't, it just goes through him. And I mean, he's not changed his diet.
Okay.
So the vets put him on SBD Prime 100.
Okay, yes.
And I've been giving him Procolon with that.
Excellent.
So that's only been the last 2 days.
Okay.
And he did his first little solid two this morning.
Excellent.
I'm hoping that's going to be... Now, what happens from here? Do I eventually wean him back onto his normal food? Or what? How does it go? You know,
what do we do now?
I've never had a problem with this before, because his food is the same as the other dog, you know.
Okay.
And they've both... I've had to cut everything out, like, you know, treats, everything.
Yeah.
I can't have a sit, you know, I've got to try. I mean, he's 15, he's not got many years left.
Do what you can. Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, great question, because the last thing we want to do is revert back to that diarrhea starting with the diet change. Mm. So just to get my head around it, so he's on the Prime 100 roll and the Procolon. Is he still on his normal dry food as well?
No.
Okay.
They told me to take him off everything and just put him on this. For now.
Just the dog. Yeah, okay.
It was just like a little box they gave me.
Okay.
Which was, I think, about $5 or $6.
Okay.
They said, see how he goes.
Excellent.
So I'm not sure how long I've got to keep him on it.
Yeah,
for,
okay.
Or,
have
you know,
you
because
got,
I've never had this problem before.
Have you got enough to keep going for a number of days yet?
No, I'll probably have enough for tonight.
Okay.
And then I'll have to get some more.
Get some more, yeah. Look, what I would be suggesting you do, Carmel, is keep him on what you're currently doing for at least 3 to 4 days worth of normal poos.
Right,
and once
about 3 to 4 days.
Yeah, and once you've had 3 to 4 days of normal poos and everything sort of seems to be settling down, then what you do over the 4 or 5 days after that is you slowly reintroduce his normal food.
And
okay.
Keep the Procolon?
So the Procolon, just follow the label. It may tell you to do it for a certain number of days, or it may say just to use the whole thing up. It's fine to keep going with it till it's empty. That's not a problem.
On the pack, you can use it for a couple of months sometimes.
Yeah, you can. So by all means, use what you've got. So when you start to transition him back after that day four, you want to be... So day four, you do 100% of what you're doing now. Day five, you're doing about 25% normal dry food and 75% of the Prime 100.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, you're doing about 50-50. And then the next day, you're doing 75% dry food, 25% Prime 100. So you're doing about a quarter a day. You're changing it.
Okay,
so we're giving,
him just boiled chicken, rice and pumpkin with dry food.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. I guess from the point of view of just wanting to change things gradually.
You would add the dry food first and then add the other chicken in with it later.
Correct.
Right.
So,
just so I know how to work it, that's all.
Yeah, so see how you go with that. Any questions, don't hesitate to give your vet a call. I'm sure the nurses would be more than happy to help. See how you go with that.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Carmel. Thank you. Helene's on the phone from Charlestown. Hi, Helene.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, thanks. You've got a question. I want to know when a puppy stops growing.
Yeah, I've got this puppy. She's 6 months old and she's just under 22 kilos.
Oh, might end up being a big one, Helene.
Yeah, she's got 5 different kinds of breeds.
Yeah, okay.
Labrador, Poodle, Bull Terrier, Shar Pei and Staffy.
Oh, a real mix.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. In answer to your question, when does a puppy stop growing? There is no black and white answer, but we have a range of age, and it actually depends on whether we're talking sort of small, medium or large breeds. Okay.
Right.
The smaller breeds tend to stop growing earlier. Okay. So around sort of the 9 to 12 month mark, they're reaching their full size, the full adult size. Whereas you compare that to sort of a Great Dane or a St. Bernard, and they're not going to stop growing till they're 2. Okay.
Oh, okay. Right.
But on the whole, with a 6-month-old dog around 22 kilos, I would suggest that at 12 to 18 months, they're going to be at their full physical size. But they do get to sort of 3/4 of their adult size fairly promptly, you know, just sort of 9 months old, that sort of thing. She's going to be pretty close to being full grown, but probably not that last little bit of growing.
Right, okay. So a kilo a week, that's normal for her then, you think?
Oh, at this age, she could be growing in leaps and bounds. Rather than the scales, Helene, I tend to look more on their body condition score. So if you Google right. body condition score, it'll bring up different pictures of how you measure whether they're overweight, underweight, or a good weight. Okay.
Right.
So okay. you want to be able yep. to... Sorry?
Sorry, body condition score, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So you want to be able to see their weight. When you look at them from above and they're standing, you want to be able to see their waist go in, and you also want to be able to feel their ribs, okay? They're sort okay. of two easy components to work out weight-wise how right. they're going. But, yeah, she's got a bit of growing left to do, it sounds like, Helene.
Oh, goodness. I cook all her food with vegetables, fruit and mince and pasta and rice.
Okay.
That's what she eats. So maybe I'm giving her too much of that. She's not a big eater, but she's putting on the weight.
Yeah. Google that body condition score, and that'll give you some good tips, Helene, on how to know if she's getting too much. My pleasure. See you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Helene. Okay, next we've got Cheryl from Hamilton, and this is a question that I'm interested in. Cheryl, you've got a cat that would rather scratch up the bedroom carpet than her scratching post.
Correct. Just a really good scratching post. It's also a normal carpet one.
Yeah.
And occasionally I'll put treats on it or something to entice her back to it, and, you know, she'll use it, and then next thing she's back to the bedroom again.
So obviously the bedroom carpet is her scratching post of choice, Cheryl.
She really likes it, and either bedroom will do. She's not fussy. It's not like she has one particular spot that she loves. She'll come to either.
Okay. And is she making a real mess of it, Cheryl?
Not yet, but okay. It's a matter of time.
Yeah. Okay. I've got the same issue, Miranda.
I was given a big scratching post, and she's got no interest in it. She hasn't even scratched it. Mm. Doesn't care. But I tell you what she does like, and it's the we've got like these tile mats. And she scratches,
like carpet tiles.
Yeah, carpet tile mats. And we've got one at the front door, like, you know, just because we had a spare. And she loves scratching that. Mm. So maybe that's worth looking into.
Try some carpet tile, Cheryl. yeah, look, lead a horse to water but can't make it drink is the phrase that springs to mind, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Cats do definitely have a mind of their own, and they will do what they want
absolutely.
When they want.
Yeah. She will, and she does, yeah.
Yeah. I guess probably my suggestions would be you want to make scratching your area of choice more appealing than the one she's choosing. So it's just...
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's going to be simple things like if it's a room that you can shut the door, then shut the door. There are some pheromone sprays you can get, and there's actually
like
some...
Feliway.
Correct. They have a bit of a range, and I'm fairly sure they have something you can put on scratching post, Cheryl, to really encourage the cats to do that. So that would definitely be my suggestion. And then making it, maybe on top of the scratching post is where you give her some special treats, okay, and she only gets them if she's near or around or on the scratching post. So just trying to make it a positive thing, trying to encourage her as best as possible.
Even on the post, because she's 16, so she doesn't reach up.
Oh, she's an old girl, is she?
Yeah, so she only scratches the carpet on the base of it. So it's got normal carpet on the base. It's got rope, you know, the sides
yes.
wrapped around it. She doesn't kind of touch the sides or parts. She just scratches at the carpet on the base, which is the same kind of carpet as what's in the bedroom.
What about a cardboard scratcher? Because we use those too, and
that seems to work. We had one of those, and God, that
makes
a mess.
Yeah, but like when our cat doesn't do the right thing, we sort of go and she looks and she knows, and then I put the cardboard like right next to her, and then she gives it a scratch.
Yeah.
So she loves the cardboard one, but I just couldn't cope with the vacuum anymore.
So tell me, Cheryl, so you mentioned that she's quite an old girl. Did she used to use the scratching post more?
No, not really. I mean, she did use the cardboard one when I had it, but I probably bought this one about 2 years ago, and she's been on and off with it ever since I bought it. So as I said, she'll kind of use it for a little while. Especially if I put treats about it. It's almost like, oh, I forgot that was there.
Correct. And that's sort of where I was going with my thinking of make it as attractive as and as positive as you want, because you might find if, you know, if you do that enough, then she kind of gets more in the habit of using it.
Okay, all right. And maybe some Feliway on the scratching post.
Yeah, I definitely would, Cheryl. It's a great product and some cats really, really love it. So that would be something that would be worth a try for sure.
All right, okay. I'll give that a try. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Best of luck.
Maybe I should give that a try too. What's it called? Feliway.
Feliway. F-E-L-I-W-A-Y.
Feliway. Yep. Okay, I'll look into that one too. Thank you.
Yeah.
This is Pet Chat on 2 and URFM, and we're going to look at our pets of the week. We've got a beautiful little cat here called Primrose.
She's super cute. 4-month-old little grey and white tabby. Great age for a kitten, lots of, you know, into everything, wants to socialise with everyone and see what everyone's doing, playful, confident and affectionate, loves toys, loves her kitten siblings, loves the cat tower, so hopefully we won't have a cat scratching issues, Primrose.
If anyone needs a cat scratcher.
but also a real cuddle bug, so if you'd like a cat to curl up on your lap at night, she might be a real good choice.
She's very cute.
She's very cute.
And next we've got our little dog, he's 11 years old, Russell.
11-year-old Kelpie. Yeah, senior gentleman, but he sounds pretty easygoing and pretty low maintenance, my type of dog. dog friendly, would suit being in the household with another dog, and he says he's not a jumper, a digger and rarely barks.
Oh, my kind of dog too.
I know, tick, tick and tick, and would probably be okay being at home sometimes by himself, so sort of a bit more independent, not too needy, a little gentle walk every day would suit his requirements.
Nothing too strenuous.
Yeah, so I think I'll take Russell and Primrose and I'll beat you all to them. They're great choices
this
week. They
are great choices. If you'd like to check out our Pets of the Week, you can go to 2NURFM.com.au and click on our lifestyle programs and you'll find Pet Chat and our Pets of the Week. And we've got about a minute and a half left, so if you want to talk about ear infections, go.
All right, ear infections in 1.5 minutes. Can't quite cover it, but we'll start it. Yeah, so ear infections, often we see, and I'm going to talk mainly about dogs, you know, maybe smelly ears or shaking the head or scratching their ears or rubbing their ears on the ground, that sort of thing. Often we have an underlying cause. So you can get just one-off ear infections, but often you actually have an underlying reason why you're getting the infections. And it's usually related to allergies. So sometimes food allergies can cause it, but also environmental allergies. So things like pollens, dusts, grasses, think hay fever in people, that sort of thing. And then things that make an ear infection more likely to occur, if you've got a narrow ear, if you've got a hairy ear, if you've got a floppy ear, or if your dog's like swimming, then a wet and moist ear, they're all things that increase the humidity within the ear canal. Because the dog and cat's ear canal is actually L-shaped. So it's pretty hard to get good airflow right to the bottom if you've got a wet, soggy, hairy canal. So they're certainly your predisposing factors. And if we have an underlying allergy that's causing ear infections, you need to address that allergy or you're never going to get control of the ear infection. Mm. So as if you take your pet to the vet, you're often going to have a sample taken from the ear canal and the vet will have a look at it and then work out some treatment. But that in a nutshell, that barely scratches the surface, Amanda, but there's lots of underlying causes, and see your vet if you're worried.
Okay, well, great timing. We are out of time. And just quickly, congratulations to Heather from Barnsley. You've won our $50 pet food voucher, and we'll give you a call about that. We'll catch up with you next time on Pet Chat.
Thanks, Amanda.
2NURFM. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.